Welcome, everyone. I'm Janet Therese, and this is Living the Paradox, One Within Oneness. I'm an intuitive coach and energy guide here to support your spiritual journey, increasing awareness and compassion for yourself and others. Join me as we explore the ways you can live the paradox of individual consciousness, living within oneness. If you're experiencing a spiritual or psychic opening, are an empath trying to manage feeling everything, or wanting to learn how to integrate your spiritual journey into your daily life, stay tuned. You will gain tools and exciting insights on how to connect with and trust your inner guidance. Your personal journey helps lift humanity as we are all cells within the same body of consciousness. Living the paradox starts now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Pat, and I have the honor of taking this journey with Janet. Janet, it's so great. We're here. We're at launch pad day. It's
yes,
so great to be really cracking this open. Thank you, first of all, for taking on something that every one of us experiences in life, and that is living the paradox. Today, you're talking about empath, codependent, or both. Let's get right into it. People may or may not know those terms, let alone know of the paradox nature around this. And so when we think about this, let's talk about where this is from where you sit and how you have developed a very unique perspective on it. Let's start with empath. How do we define it? Because a lot of people don't even know.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we are all cells in the same body of consciousness. And we're also here experiencing these individual incarnations, right? So empaths are really, it's very simple. The way I define an empath is just someone who experiences clairsentience, which is just clear feeling. It's one of the clairs, right? Let's bring in all the clairs. You've got clairvoyance, which is clear sight. You've got clairaudience, clear hearing, clairsentience, which is what empaths experience. They tend to feel the emotions of others. And then there's claircognizance, which is just when things just drop in and you just know, and you don't really know how you know, but I call it incoming. You know, it's right there, and you know that it's true because it bypasses your brain sometimes and just comes flying out your mouth, right?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, in the discovery of this, there are many people that have ideas of what empath means or ideas about what codependent means, but it's right. Also important to really talk about, you know, what's happening and what's not, because this is like the conversation that you and I have had about classifying somebody as an introvert or an extrovert. Those two things I'm sure we'll do in another show.
Right.
But this is also something that this word empath, codependent, these words give us information that's actually not accurate. So what is happening if you are an empath?
Well, I would love to tell you what's not happening first. This might, because there's so much written, there's so many people talking about this right now. And this might be upsetting to some people because my perspective is so contrary to what has been spoken about. You're not absorbing anything. Empaths do not absorb the emotions of others. No one's attacking you. You're not a victim. You're not too sensitive. You're just receiving information. And there's absolutely no need for protection. So there's the paradoxical reality, right? You've got this feeling of oneness. You feel this wonderful feeling of oneness. And then if you don't have that established maturation of the personality as this incarnation in the here and now, in the anchor of your physical body, it can become problematic because you can become muddled and puddled and meshed with everyone else. And it's hard to discern the feelings that you're having from the feelings that other people are having, and it's kind of getting these dimensions confused. So are we all one? Yes. Do we have these individual incarnations right here, right now? Yes, and they're both equally amazing, and they coexist like a symphony. Think of them as different notes in a symphony. One isn't more important than the other, but I'll tell you, when you can integrate that oneness into your daily life, and have the discernment to understand what you're picking up on. Yeah. It won't throw your life sideways. And a lot of empaths have that issue. And I'll tell you what is actually happening. You're not absorbing a feeling. You're feeling the feeling. You're feeling the frequency of the feeling. And then you're matching that feeling. You're in training to someone else's feeling. So what happens when two frequencies, like frequencies, come together? You have an increase in amplitude. Yeah. So that's where the difficulty occurs. Yeah. And that's where you feel things first. A lot of people think thoughts come first, but no, feelings come first. And then your brain has to create this crazy story about it. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, please do.
I was working with a client, oh my gosh, so many years ago, and she was feeling some anger, and I didn't know this. So all of a sudden, I start feeling the anger because we're all one, hello. And I start feeling this frequency of anger, and my brain just goes off on this story about my ex-husband, poor guy. And I just it took me about 20 seconds, and then I snapped out of it. And I just went, oh, are you angry about something? And she said, yes. And she goes off on something that was happening at work. Mm-hmm. And it was, when you think about it, it was a totally different story. Didn't have mm-hmm. anything to do with my ex-husband. And I wasn't thinking about her work. All I did was feel anger and train to it mistakenly, because I didn't have the discernment in the moment. And I thought it was mine, and my brain had to make this story, right?
Yeah. And, look, you are somebody, you're an intuitive coach. You help people integrate both spiritual practices, daily lives. I mean, what we're talking about here is taking just so many skill sets that you've brought to bear, bringing to the forefront. But a lot of your work has to do with understanding the journey of an empath, mm-hmm. but more important, a journey of how to be in this world, exactly. Looking at these underlying patterns, looking at what does it mean? How did these influence our lives? And so when we think about this, especially this show, which this episode right here, empath, codependent, or both, there's mm-hmm. so many misconceptions. Thank you for bringing that point up, because you're right. We get a feeling of, let's just make something up. We get a feeling of, I had a friend talk to me about this the other day. I don't have enough money to pay my rent. Okay, mm-hmm. so that's a fact. But underneath that fact comes an entire range of emotions.
Exactly.
And from those emotions comes the story.
Yes.
The story.
The and story. The and story. We're so creative with the story, aren't we?
We're so creative. But in the work that you've done, I want to ask you, we have a misconception about empaths being like sponges.
Yes.
Like we just absorb. We're like, oh, we can't even get through our day. We're going to have a meltdown because my sponge is like overflowing with everybody. I mean, how true is that?
No, it's not true at all. But you create the problem. You create the problem in your own energy body and your mm-hmm. physical body. And it's really just it's an enmeshment and a lack of discernment. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's when I work with people, I am surprised at the number of people who honestly don't know how they feel. They don't know what it is that they enjoy. They don't know what it is that they want to do, because they are so used to feeling other people's feelings, and they don't have that sense of self, that sense of, my friend calls it finding your coordinates in time and space, And people who are spiritual tend to value this expanded, wonderful experience of spirituality more than this 3D experience in the here and now. And you can have both. You can experience both simultaneously. And that's where the work is. That's where the work is. How do you establish that, clearing out the cobweb, that this is my little bubble here, that I'm experiencing these wonderful experiences in the 3D, and at the same time, I am one with all that is.
Yeah.
You have to clear it out. You have to clear out the cobweb so you can have a sense of, oh, this is how I feel. This is what brings me joy.
I would love for you to talk about, you know, before we jump on to codependency, I would love for you to talk about a little bit of this amplification of the frequency and the harmony and where we go with the brain, because I think this leads into talking about this idea of codependency. And again, what is it? What is what it's not? And we are so good with just throwing labels. It's like taking a piece of spaghetti and throwing it up on a wall. And if it sticks, there you go, make it a thing. Yeah. But let's talk about this, because we have to have a harmonic convergence here on both empaths and codependents, and right? Codependent. We have to have something here. Is there a bridge between them?
Yeah, there really is. I mean, they're both enmeshment issues. And honestly, I work with a lot of people who are empaths, and I've never met one that didn't have codependency issues. Mm. And when you think about it, it's a confusion of what's yours and what's not yours, either to control or being so deferential that you have no idea what your wants and needs are. So how can you possibly set a boundary when you don't know where the line is for you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, you know, from a common sense perspective, let me just give an example. Raise your hand out there. If you go to a movie and you are emotionally triggered and you cannot let go of that emotion for 3 days, 7 days, a month, you keep replaying the either birth, death scenario, breakup, go to love relationship of some fictional character. I don't know. Is that a good example or not?
It's a good example, but it's also an example when you go visit family or when you go, you know what I mean? Or just these automatic patterns that people get into. And, you know, I tell you too, I believe our work is always with ourselves. When you entrain to someone's frequency and you want to help them, I mean, the truth is keep the heart open, keep expanded. But when you go to help someone, and you entrain to their frequency, and it amplifies the frequency for both of you, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Now, if you can hold the frequency of love and be able to hold space for them, even if you momentarily feel what they're feeling, if you have the discernment in the moment to know, oh, this person is really in it, and you can have that compassion without jumping into the hole with them. And isn't that what they talk about in codependency meetings?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like, just going to mention this for a minute. There's nothing like your experience in a CODA meeting. And, you know, I am not recommending this for people to go out and do a 12-step program. We'll do many, many shows and talk about all that. But you have to have an understanding about how deep this is within you and how it's affecting your life. Isn't that why you're talking about this today? Because it affects our lives.
It affects our lives. And just like I created that story, and my brain created that story, what if I didn't recognize that that wasn't mine? I may have called him up and had a tirade and we're fine, me and my ex-husband. I'm just saying. But I could have created all this drama, all this unnecessary drama. And we do this all the time. Look at what happens on the freeway. You've got one person feeling road rage. Instead of just going, oh, wow, they must be in a hurry, match the frequency, and then, oh my gosh, everybody's just going after everybody. And it just ping, ping, ping. This happens with our media. It happens everywhere. And really, what you have to manage is your own frequency, your internal reality. And once you learn how to do that, it helps everyone. It helps everyone rise up.
Yeah. Let's talk about this in the context of continuing the idea of discernment. Now, look, there are going to be things that happen. The other day, we're on the way to the office and I saw this really cool car. I'd never seen this model before. It was beautiful. I didn't even know the brand. I mean, then when I saw the brand, I thought, oh my gosh, boy, are they up-level their game. So we drove up, we come up side by side with the gentleman that was driving the car. And I wanted to give him a thumbs up, but before I could, he gave me the finger. And because I think he thought something must have happened. And we pulled up next to him to say something I don't know what.
Right. Right.
But you see, and then Linda says, did he just do that? And we laughed about it. But now I'll tell you, other people may not have laughed about it, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I think contagious. This is what, you're talking about going sideways. When you go sideways, boy, you really go sideways.
You go sideways. Yeah. I mean, another example, you're in the grocery store. Somebody next to you is really sad and you think it's yours. So you're resonating with that. You're amplifying the frequency. You're in training. You're developing it more in your own field. And then your brain starts going, I have no friends. I'm a hideous troll, you know, and it can just really cause a lot of problem. And I think the reason it's more of an issue now is because people are waking up to the oneness.
Yeah.
But you have to, there's two tracks here. You have to do your personal work. You have to do the maturation of the personality work so that you can have the discernment and the maturation, the maturity to deal with the level of consciousness that people are opening up to. And it's happening left and right. It's just really quite remarkable how people are waking up. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Let's talk about fear for a minute. I mean, we're going to do episodes where we really dive deep, but let's talk about this because examples of sideways, feeling fear, deciding somebody's scary or not scary, getting scared when you encounter, I mean, there are just so many things. I used to do shows and I would talk about the fear factor and I'd say, what are you thinking when you're at the decision point of whether or not to walk down a dark alley in Manhattan so you could save time and not have to walk around? What are you feeling around that? I mean, that these are just simple things, but fear, codependence, empathy, these things really do have a cycle of working together or not. What do you think?
Well, they do, but there's also situations that if you're clean and clear, if you're completely clean and clear in your own little here and now, then when you get the incoming that says, no, don't take that alley, come around this way where there's more light, you follow that advice. Do you see what I mean? So it's a discernment as to what's accurate information or what's reactive information.
So from your perspective and the many people you've worked with, right? How does this show up in our lives for a minute? You know, how does this show up in our family relationships? You know, and what can we do about it? I mean, you gave a great example with your ex.
Poor guy.
I got to tell you, I have the same reaction with my accountant. Just saying. Yeah, that's when avoidance kicks in. But there are some things we experience and we may not even know this is going on. Isn't this why you're doing this episode?
Oh, absolutely. Because it's the unconscious reactivity that I like to bring people's awareness to. I've had people who have had tremendous anxiety. I'm not a psychotherapist, okay? I'm not a doctor. But when we work on what's yours, what's not yours, it goes away. Funny thing, because when you're connected vertically in this beautiful space of groundedness in the here and now, everything's fine in that moment. Everything's fine. And then when you have something come in, you can create drama around it if you don't recognize that fact. Now, codependency, they have the same issues because they're confusing what's theirs to control, what's theirs to jump in and be the hero or rescuer, and what's not theirs. And, you know, that's why they say the serenity prayer in 12-step programs, which is just developing that discernment. What I like to tell people, and I know this sounds like a very simple first step, but it actually works if you're energetically sensitive. If you feel something, anything, and it doesn't feel congruent with what's going on in your immediate world, ask yourself, check in a second, just go in and just say, is this mine? And if it's not, it'll clear. It will. It'll clear. And it was just information. You know, and remember, consciousness is non-local. So let's say, I want to give another example here.
Please.
You and your mom are super close. Okay. And all of a sudden you start feeling fear. You're not with her. She's 3,000 miles away, but you guys are close, right? And you're feeling fear. You see a tall man in front of you and you decide that tall men are scary. And then you get scared whenever you encounter tall men, or you feel fear. You go within. You ask yourself, is this mine? Your mom comes to mind. It should clear when you recognize that, right? So you call your mom. She says, oh my gosh, a deer just jumped out in front of my car. It scared the bejesus out of me. And you know, and there you go. Mystery solved. Sometimes we don't know. We don't find what it is, and that's okay. But I tell you, if it's not yours, it should clear. That's a really good first step.
I love that. You see, I love that because if it's not yours, it should clear. Now, there are tools, and I love that you made the distinction between the work that you do and the work that others may do in other professions, because you have a lot more latitude in working with people and being able to help them. You know, many people that are in the counseling profession, et cetera, they have some boundaries where they cannot assist people in creating change, but that's not the realm you're in. How do people, well, I'm going to take a minute. How do people find out more about you? How do they work with you? What is the best place for folks to go?
Website, my website, janettherese.com. And Therese is T-H-E-R-E-S-E.com. Thank you.
Look, I want to talk about, now I've gotten this information. Here I am. I don't know what to do. I know you're going to talk to me about boundaries, but oh my God, just that word is triggering me.
Bum, bum, bum.
You know, it's like putting up a fence in your yard, right?
But yeah, it's not. I mean, try to not think about it that way. I want to talk.
I'm doing my best not to think about it. Let's talk about it in ways that people. But you know, that's what people think.
I know that's what they think. And people think they need to protect themselves all the time. Now, you and I, we live in Pacific Northwest and it rains like really a lot. It's raining right now.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't say, oh, my gosh, it's raining. I need to put on my protection. You know, you put on your coat and you go about your business.
We don't even use umbrellas here. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, I know. Or sunglasses.
Like, This is an important distinction.
Yes, it is. It's really just discernment. This is mine. This is not mine. Stop viewing it from the perspective of being a victim, frankly, and view it as just information. It's just information. That's all it is. And once you start being able to discern that, your whole life will change. But sometimes it requires some work, some personal work as far as clearing out all those stories that you thought were yours, but surprise, they're not. And, you know, it sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it's just wow, and it's instant. And people, their lives change immediately. Yeah. It was a life changer for me when I realized, oh my gosh, half of what I'm feeling isn't even mine. It changed my life.
Now, you've created some tools for people, and we've got some places for folks to go to get some insight. Let's just get some insight. Even if you're not ready to get some help on this, because, you know, some of this is really lifelong. It's a lifelong.
Yes.
That's the paradox of this. But what have you created to help some people get at that inner work?
Well, I do have my website will give you a lot of information too, janettherese.com. And there's also at the bottom of my homepage, I have a Spotify meditation. It is 6 minutes long. And what it will do is it's called Back to Center. So if you're having a rough time, it's a perfect little break to clear out the cobwebs, clear out what's not yours, bring yourself back in so that you can ground. And remember, you know, keeping the heart open, staying expanded. You're actually safer. I hate to even use the word safe because I don't want it to, you know, be from that protection victim perspective, because that's not what it is at all. But, you know, this is where we have to like retrain ourselves to think about it just a little bit differently.
Yeah. But it's also a feeling that when people, when you say that, what you're giving them is information by saying this is a safe place. It's sometimes mm-hmm. folks need to have that knowledge that, you know, I'm going to take this journey. I'm going to use this meditation. And this is a place that works in both conscious, unconscious, subtle ways to help people, let's just say, open up to a new way. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's just a different perspective. It's a change in perspective. And when you realize that the stories are just stories, you know, they're just stories. And we really do create our experiences through these stories. So you got to watch what stories you're telling, right? Yeah. And where the stories are coming from, because they may not be your stories.
Yeah, I think that's the key. And we can't say that enough during this show, because where are the stories coming from? You and I are going to spend much more time on this. We're going to talk about things, but also I mentioned CODA before, a CODA for people. You know, this is a body of work that really explores this a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah. Melody Beattie's work is remarkable.
I know. I
mean, Codependent No More. I mean, she wrote the book, literally.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you this question. I know we're wrapping it up here. I want to, what's the personal message? What do you want to leave people with here today? And again, this is the first of many shows we'll do together, but there is a paradox in all of this. What is your message around that?
It is easier than you think to be conscious in multiple realities, especially if you're anchored into the here and now. And I really just encourage people to look within and clear this out, whether you work with me or someone else, because once you do, you'll have that discernment. You'll actually enjoy your clairsentience.
Yeah.
You don't need protection. You're not a victim. It's really just a different way of receiving information. That's all.
Well, thank you so much. You and I have talked about the importance of this. It is so really important, especially as we move in to the digital age. I mean, I can't even talk about that without doing a full show with you. But now we're into the world of digital AI. So many more opportunities to get confused around what is and what isn't, right?
Oh, such a good point. We could go on in another show about
We'll do it. Please give out your website again, and please mention the meditation, if you don't mind, and how people can get their hands on that.
Yes, my website is janettherese.com, JANETHERESE.com. And at the bottom of the homepage, there's a link to my Spotify meditation. It's right there.
Thank you for being so generous with this. And thank you so much for letting people know for sure that there is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're all about, Janet. That's what I love about you. And I love about your work. And I love about how you bring your experience and your years and years of working with clients and helping them in this arena. If we ever needed this work now, it is now. This is really how to help people to make room to have the lives they want. Thank you so much for all you're doing on the planet.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. Such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Emily, thank you so much for pushing all the right buttons. And for those of you that have missed any part of this, we'll be pulling out some excerpts from here for you, especially how to get the meditation. Please pay it forward and pass it on. Anything we can do to help another human being, please, let's do it. Thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. We'll see you next time.
I'm Janet Therese, and you've been listening to Living the Paradox, One Within Oneness, on Transformation Talk Radio. We've been exploring ways you can live the paradox of individual consciousness, living within oneness. Tune in every fourth Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time for more tools and exciting insights on how to connect with and trust your inner guidance and how your personal journey helps lift humanity. For more information, visit janettherese.com. That's Janet Therese, T-H-E-R-E-S-E.com.